Today's shiur is Masechta B'charis Daf Mem Hey, and we will begin in Daf Mem Dalet on Beis, the bottom line, the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah Makish Barkasuma. The Mishnah continues discussing different mumim of the Kahanim. Makish Barkasulav means that a person is bow-legged and his knees and his feet turn inward. Or Barkavoysav, where a person has his feet facing outwards, ubalapikim, ekel. And somebody who's a balapikim and an ekel. And the Gemara explains what they are. The Mishnah explains what they are. Ezel ekel, what is an ekel? Kol shumakav parasasoysov, fein akavoysov noikshos zuzu. Somebody whose feet face outwards, his ankles don't touch, his knees touch. And as the Chaznish explains, isn't that the same that we just explained at the beginning of the Mishnah? So the Chaznish explains the difference between the ekel and the person that we discussed at the beginning of the Mishnah is that the ekel, even when he's sitting, has this condition. The person who we spoke at the beginning of the Mishnah is a person who only has this condition when he's walking. Pika yoytza migoydloi. A pika is someone who has a growth coming out of his toe. And as the Chaznish here too explains, we're going to learn that a person who suffers from a condition of besarim medudolim, that he has hanging skin, is considered a balmum. So why is a pika not in that category? Says the Chaznish that there, when a person has hanging skin, it's a piece of skin hanging from the body. Here, this growth is covered by the person's skin, but it still represents a mum. A keva, yoitz lacharif, usually one's heel is sort of flat. Here, the heel sticks out from the back of the foot. A parasoysov rechavos kishel avos. The way most mefarshim explain means that he has wide, flat feet. There are those that say that it also may mean that he has very short feet. Etzba'osav merkava zu'elzu, if his toes are one on top of the other. Eklutos lamala, or they're kept together. Adaperik kosher. Lamala menaperik v'chotchoy kosher. So the way most Mefarshim explain is that the perek that's being spoken about in this Mishnah is the middle joint of the toe. And if the toes are joined together only up to that middle joint, lamala ad perek, if they're joined up to that joint, they're kosher. Lamatman ad perek, but if they're joined past that joint, so if the chotcha, if he cut it, then it's kosher. The way most Rishonim explain the Mishnah is that as long as they're cut, they're separated, we're fine. If they're not separated, then we have an issue. There are those who ever explain that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that as long as they're connected, it's fine. If they're cut, it's still also fine. Also discussion, does it have to be all of the toes or just some of the toes to have this issue? V'myesh b'etzem, but if there's a bone there, v'myesh b'etzem, if there's a bone sticking out after you've separated them, it's possible v'mlav, but if there is no remaining bone, then it's kosher. Yesa b'yoda b'raglov, sheish v'sheish, if instead of having 5 fingers and 5 toes, he has 6 fingers and 6 toes per hand and foot for a total of Esrav Arba. And as Mepharshim point out, because we're going to learn the Gemara on the top of Amud Beis that has a pasuk with this type of wording, that's why the Mishnah uses this wording. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Yehuda says that he's still fine. V'cham and Paislim, however, the Chacham hold that such a person is not fine. Here too we have a Machlokes Rishonim. How far is Rabbi Yehuda lenient? Is Rabbi Yehuda lenient only in the case described in the Mishnah, where each hand and each foot has six fingers and toes. But if there'll be a situation where there won't be a consistent number on all the hands and feet, even Rabbi Yehuda will be machmer, or is Rabbi Yehuda machshir under all circumstances? Concludes the Mishnah, Hashoylet b'shtei yadav, someone who's ambidextrous, who uses both hands, Rabbi Paisel v'cham machshir. Begins the Gemara, Tana Rabban of the Torah, when it mentions different mumim, speaks about a shever regel, somebody who has a broken leg, says the Braisa, only El shever regel, which only teaches us that a shever regel is a mum, Menayin, L'rabbis, Hakishan, Ve'ikov, Akilbon, that we discussed in our Mishnah, Tamaloymer, Oy shever. The Torah is saying, Oy shever regel, by saying the word Oy, it comes to include these issues as well. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Apikin, Vashufner. Amr Rev Chia Bar Abba, Amr Rev Yoichanan, Bala Pekin, who's a Bala Pekin? Sheesh like Kisses Harbe, that he has many ankles. Shufner is an individual, Shein like Kisses Kalikar, who has no ankle at all. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Pika Yoitze Megodloi Vekevi Yoitze Lacharev, Amr Beloza, Shoki Yoitz Bem Tzragla, which is as we explained. Usually the person's leg is that he has the leg and then he has the foot, and the foot stands out, protrudes in the front of his leg. Here we have a situation where his leg is in the middle of the bottom of his foot, this part in front of the leg and this part behind the leg. The Mishnah also discussed someone who's persoisav Ruchavos Kishal Avos, Amar Rapapa, Kamet Rapapa, Loi Trema, don't explain that the Mishnah refers to situation, the Trifa, Velostika, that it's one on top of the other, that he's fat-footed, and the toes aren't separate. Rather, says the Gemara, Kivan the Trifa, as soon as the person is flat-footed, Afagav the Stika, even though the toes are separated, he's still a Bamum. Etzba'isar Merkavas al-Gazu, Oy Kolotos, Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara. How do we know that these are considered a mum? Because, says the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Sheviyad, the Torah speaks about a broken arm, only El Sheviyad, that it's considered a mum. Et spice of Murkavos, Eklutos, Lamalam, and Aperek, V'chotchan, is all a mum. Ask the Gemara, V'amrit Kosh, we said that if you cut them, it's fine. El Loichot Minayin, says the Gemara, the way to read the Braisa is that if the toes have not been separated, then it's a mum. If they're separated, it's a mum. How do we know? Tamalem Sheviyad. If it's separated, it's not a mum. If it's not separated, it's a mum. Hosbay Yiseris, if he had an extra finger, v'chotchay, im yeshbay etzem posel, v'mlaav kosher. Says the Gemara, Am Rabba b'b'chana arim v'yoychen, when will it be fine? The way most Rishonim explains, that's when it's fine, if it's lined up together with the rest of the legs. But if it's not, then it could be a problem. There are Rishonim that learn just the opposite. They say if it's lined up, that's when we have to start analyzing it. But if it's in a completely different area of the arm or the foot, then it doesn't bother me. Furthermore, the Rishonim asked the question, we learned in the previous parak, the concept, we discussed it, of kol yeser kenatal dami, that if there's an extra aver, then it's like a missing aver, and that will make the animal into a mum, bamum, a treifa. So why don't we say that as well here? So the Rishonim replied, there we were talking about an extra leg. An extra leg is looked at as if a missing leg, and a missing leg is certainly a mum or a treifa. Here, an extra finger is not as significant as an extra leg, and therefore, we don't apply the concept of kol yeser kenatal dami. Before we go further, we know that a mace is metama. A mace is metama b'maga, if one touches the mace, b'masa, if one carries the mace, or if one is be'oil ha-mace. That is the halacha. What about parts of the body? So the halacha is an aver of a mace, which means, an aver means that you have an organ that has bone and flesh, is metame ba'oil. A etzim kesoira, a bone the size of a barley cone, is metame b'maga b'masa. It's not metame ba'oil. If you have a roiva hakav, a quarter of a kav of atzomas hameis, it's metame ba'oil. If you have roiv minyan, the majority of the bones of a prati, and the Gemara is going to speak about that extensively in a few moments, or you have the roiv binyan, which the Gemara will speak about as well, then you have tumas maga masa and oil. Begins the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Yisera. Again, we have this person with the extra finger. Sheyesh by etzem, vein by tzar, tzipirin. You have bone, and as Rashi points out, you certainly have flesh, because if you don't have flesh, then you'll never have tumas oil. But there is no fingernail. Ain by tzipirin. There is no fingernail on this extra aver. Metama b'maga b'masa or metama b'oil. V'oil l'minyan chafhei, that if we just said you have to have roi minyan of the bones of the body, that's when it's metama. It could be added to that group. We know, we always speak about rimach averim. 248 Avrim. So the Roiv is Kuf Chav Hei, 125. Somebody's in that category. He is, that's Tumas Oil. On that comments Rabbi Babachana Am Rabbi Yochanan. When was this said? Ubnesperes Agav Yad. Only if that finger is together with the rest of the fingers. That's when this halacha will apply. If it's not along the same line as the on the other fingers, and it doesn't have a fingernail, Rashi says, it won't have this halacha. So according to Rashi, if it'll have a fingernail, then I don't care where it was. It'll be matamba magav masva oil. If it doesn't have a fingernail, and Rashi also goes on to say that it doesn't have a kazayis basar, because Rashi explains, a lengthy Rashi, if it has a kazayis basar, it also will be matam b'oil. Here we speak about a case where you have an aver, that means you have bone, you have basar, not a kazayis basar, you have no fingernail, and now the halach is as follows. If it's nesperis agave hayad, if it's lined up with the rest of the fingers, then it's matam b'maga b'masa b'oil. If it's not nesperes l'gabayad, if it's not counted with the rest of the fingers, then it's not matam. Then this rule will not apply. Amr Rav Chisda, comments Rav Chisda, Dov is a Rabbeinu HaGadol Amrei. We learned the following halacha from our great teacher Rav Hamokim Yir BeOzrei, and he right away gives him a bracha. He should have siyata d'shmaya. Yiseres sheyesh ba'etzim. You have this extra finger that has bone, however, aimed by mitzapirin, and it doesn't have a fingernail, metamba b'maga b'masa, it will be metamba b'maga b'masa, v'en metamba oil, but there will not be tumas oil. Says Rabbi Babchana, why won't it be metamba oil? As we've been learning, Rabbi Babchana, Rabbi Yochanan, u'b'shnein nesperes l'gav yad. Yes, it has flesh. Yes, it has bone. But it doesn't have a fingernail, and it's also not lined up with the other fingers. That's why it's only matamba b'maga b'masa, and it's not matamba b'oil. So he makes a very strong comment. Comments Rabbi Yochanan, also divrayim k'divrei nevius. We have to look at Rav's statement like the words of a Navi. The way most mafarshim explain the Gemara is that when a Navi says something, it's not in our place to ask questions. We accept what the Navi said because the Navi has come with a message. Here too, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, although as we're about to learn, we don't really understand what Rav is saying, we accept it as we accept the words of a Navi. And the Chasam Sofer, I saw builds on this concept. The Chasam Sofer says that a person who learns Torah and a person who's a Talmud Chacham is infused with a level of Ruach HaKodesh, that our attitude to his words should be the attitude that we have to the words of a Navi. Furthermore, Tosfos and the Rishonim point out that in our Gemara, it seems to be sort of a derogatory comment. It's not, what he's saying is, I really don't understand what you're saying. I'm going to accept it, but I really don't understand it. In other places, says Tosfos, when the Gemara used this kind of statement, actually speaks about a compliment. Because what is his problem? Manashach, he asked the following. If it's going to be considered an aver, even though it doesn't have a fingernail, and even though it's not lined up with the other fingers, so then ba'oil nam titma, it ought to be matam ba'oil as well. If, on the other hand, because it doesn't have a fingernail, and because it's not lined up with the other fingers, lav avahu, then b'magra masanami lay litmi. How come we have this middle type of situation? So the Gemara offers two terutzim. Amrav huna bar menoich mishmeder of achabayid rav ikka, mishum etzim kasara nagaba. That actually, when it has these characteristics, it's in the category of etzim v'saira, that we said in our introductory remarks that an etzim kasara is matamba b'magba masa and not boil. And that's the same category. We put this finger, the extra finger that has basar and aver, but no fingernail and not lined up. And that's why that's the halacha. Rapapa, and the way most Rishonim explain Rapapa's teretz is as follows. Actually, it ought not to have any tumah at all. Because if it doesn't have a fingernail and it's not lined up with the other fingers, it ought not to be matam at all. However, Chazal made a tumah derabanan here. Why did Chazal see fit to make this type of tumah? Because gzeira she'ena nesperis ata nesperis. When it will be lined up with the other fingers, as we learned earlier, it will be matamah medaraisa maga masa oil. So therefore, here where it's taka missing the fingernail and it's not lined up, and therefore it's not matamah, but since it could get easily confused, Chazal made this gzeira. Ask the Gemara, if Chazal saw fit to make a gzeira on this type of finger, so then they should make it tumah derabanan all the way. And it should be matamah not only b'magah b'masah midrabanan, but it should even be matamah b'oihel midrabanan. Answers the Gemara, of the rabbanan hakeira, kehecha de loylisraf ala trum v'kachim. We've dealt with this issue previously. We know that the halacha is that truma v'kachim that become tamei must be burnt. On the other hand, truma v'kachim that are not tamei may not be burnt. So now, if we'll have truma v'kachim that will be exposed to this type of a finger. So let's think about it. Midaraisa, it's not tamei. It's only a tuma derabanan as we're learning. So since it's not tamei midaraisa, what will happen? The person, if he thinks it's tamei derisa, will burn it. Because he thinks we have here truma v'kachim that are tamei midaraisa that must be burnt. But since it's not tamei midaraisa, not only shouldn't he be burnt it, but as I just said, he's not allowed to burn it. But how will that person remember? By not treating it, by Chazal, not treating it as a full-fledged tumah, and saying that it only has tumah magva masa, but not having tumas oil, that will serve as the hekra, as the reminder, not to treat it as a full-fledged tumah, and not to burn truma v'kachim that come in contact with it. So I said earlier that when we have roi binyan, or roi minyan of the bones of a mace, it's matama ba'oil. And the Gemara begins, Tanan Hossam. The Mishnah says in Masechta Olois, Roi binyanoi v'roi binyanoi shalmeis, abishayim by roiva, even if you don't have a roiva of calf of bones, tameim de matama. Says the Braisa, Tanan Rabbonon, Ezri roi binyanoi, what is the case of roi binyanoi? Shnei shikayim v'yerek echad. If you have two shin bones and one thigh, hoil v'roi govai begodl. Since that makes up most of the standing part of an adult, that is considered roi binyan. Continues the Braisa, Eza roi minyanoi, what is the case of roi minyanoi? Kuf chafhei, if you have 125. Why? Because as I keep on saying, we know that there are mach evrim, Ramach represents 248. So Rav of 248 is 150. Amle Ravina la Rava, ask Ravina to Rava, Tana Minyana Oslashminan. Is the purpose of this brisa to tell us that the majority of 248 is 125? Answers the Gemara. Kamashman, what he's coming to teach us is Kritanya, as was learnt in the brisa. That if you have a chaser, if you have a person that has much fewer avarim than we normally do, shame by a messiah that only has 200 avarim, or you have a yeser, a person that has more avarim, he has sheyesh by messiah v'shmainim, he has 280 avarim. Kulam oyla minyakov chavhei. Still, the count to be considered roi minyan is 125. Why? Because zil bas rubadanshi. We go after the majority of people, and the majority of people, as we just said, have 248. Even though the Mefarshim ask that we're about to begin learning Gemara, that a man has 248 Avram. A woman has 252. So why is the Gemara saying, ask the Mefarshim, the Rav people have 248? The world is 50% men and 50% women, so it's not Rav. So I saw two Terutzim. Yes, the world is 50% men and 50% women. But amongst the women that there are in the world, there are islandessen, women who are unable to have children, that are missing these different parts of their body. So if you put together the 50% men with the islandess, you have roiv that only have 248, one teretz. Another teretz that I saw, perhaps more relevant in the time of Chazal, men typically lived longer than women, because many women unfortunately passed away in childbirth. And therefore, even though that's why roiv of the world are men that have 248. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. There was an incident with the Talmidim Rabbi Shmuel. Shesholku zoyna achas, that a zoyna, sheneschai v'sreifa, who was being boiled, because she was chai v'sreifa l'melech, bat gu motzba m'sayim v'chamish m'shnayim. They found that she had 252 Avram. Mefarshim discuss that obviously nobody would ever have a right to do this to a woman. She was sentenced to this death, and they took that opportunity to research exactly how many bones, how many Avram are in her body. Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask, but there's a din that you're not allowed to be menaval hames, you're not allowed to treat a mace without the proper respect. You're not allowed to dissect the mason, the tuche mason. So how was this done? So one teretz I saw is that this was part of her punishment. They didn't do anything that wasn't really part of the punishment. Another teretz that I saw was that she was an akum, and the dinim of nivla mason doesn't apply by an akum. And another teretz that I saw, a big chiddush, the other teretz that I saw is that it's only when here it was to learn Torah, as to learn the halacha of Al Gemara, and mitzvah slav lehenes netnu, learning Torah is not considered having benefit, and that's why it was permitted. Amle, so they found 252, and we've been saying this 248. Amle, so he said to them, Shema be'isha bedaktim, perhaps the person that you looked at was a woman. Shahoysav la'kosuf, shnei tzirim v'shnei dalsis. She has two more hinges and two more doors for having children. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, we know that if unfortunately someone is not well, and we make a Mishaberich in Shul, we say in the Nusach of the Mishaberich, V'yishlach l'arifur shleim l'armach ivarea v'shesa gideha. We say that not only by a man, but by a woman. But how do we say remach ivarea by a woman, if our Gemara just said that a woman has 252, not 248? So indeed, I did see that there are certain nuschos that don't have those words. Yishlach refushlem l'kol avireho, not l'remach avireho. Others say that when we're speaking about the remach avirim, we're not speaking about the remach avirim of this woman who's unfortunately not well. We're going back to the beginning of the Mishaberach. Mishaberach of Sir Avraham Yitzhak Yaakov. And we're saying, just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu protected the Ramach Avarim and the Shah Sa Gidim of our Avos, so too should this woman be protected. Another interesting question that I saw and it's an important halacha, is that the Krishma has 245 words in it. But when the Baal Tefillah repeats at the end of saying Krishma the words Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and we hear the Baal Tefillah saying those words, so we add another three words to the 245, and we have Ramach 248. And that's why the halacha is that if one is reciting Krishma not as part of its Sibur, so he has to say Kael Melech Neman. That's where he gets the three extra words. The question is, if a woman, who, as the Gemara is teaching us, always has these extra Avrim, maybe she should always say extra words to cover those extra Avrim. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Lezer Oymek Shem Shetzirim Labayis, just like there are hinges on a home, Kach Tzirim Elisha, there are hinges on the woman. Shenemar, V'techer V'teilid, Kinechba Ola Tzireha. The pasuk speaks there about Pinchas' wife, the daughter-in-law of Eli, as she was giving birth and finding out that her father-in-law Eli had passed away. Rabbi Shoimer, Kshem Shadasas Labayis, just like there are doors in a home, Kach Dasas Elisha Shenemar, Eof says, he thanks Hashem Kloy Saga Dalsi Bitni. Rabbi Kiva goes a step further. He says, Kshem Shem Afteich Labayis, just like there's a key to the home, Kach Mafteich Lisha, there's another part of the woman's body, the Mafteich. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, when she had children, V'yiftach Es Rachma. Ask the Gemara, so now there's one more, according to Rabbi Kiva. And therefore ask the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Kasha, the Talmid Rabbi Shmuel. Why did they only discover 252? They ought to have discovered 253. Answers the Gemara, Dilma Aida de Zutria, because they're so small, these bones, this Mafteach, Ismuche Asmach. As this woman, the Zoyna, was being boiled, that Mafteach dissolved. Omerav, continues the Gemara, for Kulan Ematamim Be'oil. All these extra Avrim that a woman has, there is no din of tumas oil on them. For says Rav Shinema, the Torah teaches us Zoyus haTorah Odom Kiyomus BaOil. Teaches us Rav Dova Shavul Chal Odom. Only those parts that apply that are by men and women have this ability, not the Avrim that are only by women. Amma Abaya asks Abaya to Rav Ubi Ish Leka. Does a man not have this? V'ksiv Tsirim. So we see that Yeshaya speaks about him having tzirim. He's a man. Answers the Gemara, tzirei basar. It doesn't mean an aver, it just means a piece of flesh. V'ksiv, Daniel says, Hashem b'mara nepchu tzirei. So you see that Daniel had tzirei. Again, says the Gemara, hach nami tzirei basar. It doesn't mean a bone, it just means a piece of flesh. And says the Gemara, hach nami mistabra. This explanation is very tenable. Shall we not say so? We always speak, says the Gemara, about the Ramach Avrim. But if a man has more, and a woman has more, so who has the Ramach Avrim? Lo b'ish v'lo b'isha, not a man nor a woman. Continues the Gemara. Yes, Sibirad Yadav Baraglov. So we learned a machlokes in the Mishnah. If somebody has an extra leg or extra fingers in his leg or feet, is he a Baal Mum or not? Rabbi Yehuda says he isn't. The Chachamim say he is. And says Rabbi Yitzchak, and we said we're going to comment on this pasuk, Om Rabbi Yitzchak v'shneim mikra echadarshu. They both get to their position from the very same pasuk. Because the pasuk in Shmuel talks about the machloikis, the war between the Plishtim and Yisrael. The Ti'ayd Muhammad, the pasuk says it was Muhammad. And Ksiv in the pasuk says, V'hi ish modain, there was a very large person, etzbes yod v'etzbes raglav, sheish sheish, that he had extra fingers. Shemar sovah, the chachamah of the opinion, b'genusei mishtoi, the prosek is speaking derogatorily about him, that he was sort of a freak, that he had these extra fingers, and therefore that's considered a bamum. Mar sovah, whereas Rabbi Huda holds, B'shifchei mishtoi, the pasuk is speaking about how great he was that he had extra fingers. Omer Rava, says Rava, let's understand that pasuk, says Rava. Mali d'ksiv, how do we understand when the pasuk says, sheish b'sheish 24. They had six fingers and toes on every finger and foot, totaling 24. Ask the Gemara, Misba Tzrichi, does the Pasuk have to tell us multiplication that 6 times 4 equal 24? Answer the Gemara Tzrichi. The Ikas Rachmana Sheish V'Sheish, had the Torah only written Sheish V'Sheish, have meaning we would think Shista Dei V'Shista Kari, that maybe only one hand and only one foot had an extra finger, but not both hands and not both feet. Kosav, that's what the Torah says, Esrim V'Arba, to show us that they all had this extra finger, an extra toe. But, says the Gemara, V'Kosav Esrim V'Arba, had the Pasuk only said the number 24, Havamina, we perhaps think, Chamish Mehagisa, V'Sheva Mehagisa. It wasn't perfectly symmetrical, 6 and 6 and 6. Rather, there was 5 on one hand and 7 on the other hand. Kosav, that's why the Pasuk says, Sheish, V'Sheish, Nisper Ben Speres Al Gavayad, each hand had exactly 6. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Arab Yehuda, Mais Ba'adam Echot Shabalof Nei Reb Tarfin, there was a situation where a person came to Reb Tarfin, Yes, Biyad Baraglof, and he had extra fingers and extra toes, Sheish V'Sheish Esen V'Arba, Amaloi, K'moicha Yerba B'Yisrael. Clearly, says the Gemara, it's an indication that Reb Tarfin agreed with Reb Yehuda that having extra fingers is a shvach. Amalei Reb Yossi, says Reb Yossi, that isn't what the way to understand the Gemara. Rather, the way to understand the Gemara, Misham Raya, Kach Amalei, K'moischa, Yismatu Mamzeri V'Nisina V'Yisrael. We know that we're not allowed to marry Mamzerim, L'yovim Mamzer B'Kal Hashem. We're not allowed to marry Nisinim. Nisinim are the Gevoinim, who tricked Yeshua into believing that they came to make peace, and they were made into Shoyav and Mayim, water carriers, and David and Melissa were not allowed to marry them. But the issue is, when you have a Mamzer, when you have a Nosson, you don't know that he's a Mamzer, you don't know that he's a Nosson, and there's a real issue of perhaps assimilation, that they will get assimilated into Klal Yisrael. How is that prevented if they would be noticeable? Rav Tarfin says, Halvai, every Mamzer had an extra finger. And that would be a way for us to be able to easily identify him and stay away from marrying him. Hashal b'shtei yodav, the Mishnah said somebody's with an ambidextrous. So first quotes the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Iter, if somebody is lefty, bein b'yad bein b'ragel, whether in the hand or the foot, posel. And there's a very big machlokes rishonim. First of all, why somebody who's left-handed is possible? Rashi learns, because there are avoidus that the Torah clearly says you're supposed to use your right hand. Lokach hakoin etzpo, the Gemara always says means the right finger. And therefore, this person who's lefty can't do without avoidus. The problem with Rashi's pshat, two issues. One issue is, not every avoida do we have to do with the right hand, the right finger. So why is the kohen disqualified? He should only be disqualified from those avoidas. The answer the Rishonim suggest is that once the Torah tells us that some avoidas must be done with the right hand or the right finger, the halacha becomes that all avoidas should be done with the right hand, the right finger. Furthermore, ask the Mefarshim, in trying to understand Rashi's pshat, what does it mean that he doesn't have a right hand? He has a right hand. A person who's a lefty has a right hand. He finds it more easy to work with his left hand, but he has a right hand. So what is, if he's not that impossible for him to work with his right hand, he should work with his right hand and do the avodah with the right hand. So the Rishonim explain, this is fundamental in understanding Rashi's pshat, that a person who is a lefty, it's not that the halacha views that he has a right hand that he doesn't use. His right hand is not considered a right hand. A right hand that's weaker than the left hand is not a right hand. If he doesn't have a right hand, he's unable to do the avodah. That's Rashi's approach to this Gemara. The Ramban has a totally different approach. The Ramban's approach is that being a lefty is a mum. Actually, there's a machloikis how to understand the opinion of the Ramban. Does the Ramban mean that he's considered a full-fledged Balmum? Or does the Ramban mean to say that he's ain't a shava bizarre shalarm? Because as we learned at the beginning of this parak, the halacha for these two individuals is very different. A Balmum who does the avoida disqualifies the avoida. Ain't a shava bizarre shalarm shouldn't do the avoida, but he doesn't disqualify the avoida. Furthermore, the Mepharshim explain, this is the issue when we speak about the hand. The issues with the feet may be very different. Some say, certainly, somebody who's left-footed, again, is ain't a shava bizarre shalaron. Most people are right-footed. If he's left-footed, he's ain't a shava bizarre shalaron. Others say that if he's supposed to stand, there's a way you're supposed to stand in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why we learned in Masechta Zvachim that you're not allowed to stand on a chatzitza. And if you're standing and one and the left foot is stronger than the right foot, then you're not standing in the proper fashion. The question that comes up is, we know that if a brother-in-law is doing chalitza with a sister-in-law, she has to take off the chalitza shoe from his foot. So the Pais can discuss, what is the halacha if he is left-footed? Which in itself is an interesting question. How do you determine if somebody's left-footed? Because the way that the earlier Paiskim say is that you should tell the person to walk and we'll see which foot he moves first. The problem is, the problem particularly comes up in Israel where most people are go to the army, and in the army they teach people to always march left, right, left, right. So they're accustomed to move the left foot first. So how do you really tell if the person is left-footed or right-footed? So what I've heard, I once a dayan in Eretz Yisrael told me, is that they tell the person, kick the wall, without telling him why. We see which foot he uses to kick the wall. But now the question is, if indeed we determined that he's a left-footed person, what should we do? So the Shulchan Aruch paskens, we should do two chalitzas. A chalitza on the left foot, and a chalitza on the right foot. Because, let's think about it. Because on one hand, the Torah doesn't speak about a mum being an issue by chalitza. So there you could say, you could do it on the right foot. On the other hand, if we follow, we may think that you have to use the stronger foot. That's what the Torah means. So that's why we do chalitza from both feet. And that's the minhag that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah both say. The problem that the Mefarshim ask, according to Rashi, the Rashi says that this person is considered like an individual that we just explained, as if he doesn't have a right foot. And the Torah says that you have to have, and perhaps the Torah wants specifically a right foot, so how could that person do chalitza if Rashi holds he doesn't have a right foot? And that's what the Paiskim say, to be concerned somewhat if there are a number of brother-in-laws, and one is left-footed and the other is right-footed, preferably the right-footed brother-in-law should be the one doing chalitza. Continues the Gemara. Hashoyle b'shtei yodav, somebody who's ambidextrous. Here we have the machloikus. Rabbi Paisel b'cham machshirim. What is the machloikus? Ma'asav kichushto yischal b'yamin. Why is he ambidextrous? Because it represents a weakness in the right hand. Ma'asav, on the other hand, Madama, who says he's fine, says it's not because he has a weak right hand, it's briosa, it's chalab small, he has a strong left hand. The Mefarshim, I actually saw, want to connect this machlokes to the machlokes Rishayim that we discussed by a left-handed person. If the issue of a left-handed person is that he's different than Zara Shalaron, this individual who's ambidextrous is also different. If the issue is that he has to be able to do with his right hand, he's able to work with his right hand, Rashi's pshat. In fact, perhaps the machloikus tanoim is the machloikus of Rashi in the Ramban. Says the Mishnah, Hakushi hagicha v'alafkan, the Gemara can explain who they are, v'kipeich v'ananas v'cheresh v'ashoita. A cheresh is somebody who is a deaf mute. And there's a very big discussion amongst the Paiskim and the Behuda if the cheresh is a person who's a deaf mute, or if he's able to speak and just not able to hear, is he already a Balmum? So there are two rayas that the Noida Behuda brings, that if he can't hear, if he could speak and just can't hear, that he's already Baal Mum. One is because we also speak about an animal being a cherish. An animal can't speak. Furthermore, the Noid Behuda says that throughout Shas, it is the opinion of the Gemara that a cherish who can't speak or hear, a deaf mute, is a shaita. He's not able to, doesn't have das. So why would we have to speak about a cherish? It must be that the cherish has come to teach us an individual who could hear but can't speak is already considered a cherish. Which actually opens up another question. Hashaita. A shaita is not about das. So why do we have to have our Gemara tell us that a shaita is disqualified? A shaita doesn't have das. So I saw a number of truths. One teretz is that we're talking about an individual who's not a shaita all of the time. Itim chalam, itim shaita. The Chassam Sofer disagrees with this because the Chassam Sofer holds that somebody who's a itim chalam, itim shaita is actually disqualified from the avoda. Others say that we're speaking about the avoda on the bama. And on the bama, the halacha is that das is not required. Another teretz that I saw from the Chibina Rav, a very bechiddush, he says, a person without das is not necessarily a problem. Why? Because the Gemara in Masechet Zvach many times, Masechet Menachos many times says that if you did the avoda stoma, it's fine. It's only when you did the avoda with the wrong machshava. A shaita is like stoma, and stoma is fine. Hashikar, somebody who's intoxicated, the Gemara will speak about it, or Baal Negoim Tairim, because if he's a Baal Neged Tamei, he can't do the avoda anyway. Psulim, the Adam, all of these are possible Adam, Ksherim, Behema. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shaita, Min Behema, if you have a wild animal, Eina Min Mavcha. Rav Elazar Omer, Af Bali Hadadulim, we mentioned this at the beginning of the Shir, a person who has skin hanging from his body, Psulim, Ba'adam, Ksherim, Behema. Says the Gemara, Kushri is somebody who's Uchma, who's black. Gichar is somebody who's Chivra, who's white. Luvna is Sumka. Ask the Gemara. Sumka means red. Eini. Ask the Gemara who they have Amalei Manboy Lukini. Somebody wants Lukini Vishkacha Chivra. Ella says the Gemara Kusha is Uchma. Gichor is black. Gichor is Sumka is red. Kira Amri Uncha. Sumka Gachya. That was a way they used to call people with a red complexion. Lukeni is chavra, is white. Kuda Amra, like the Gemara just quoted, man boy Lukini, they were asked who wants this Lukini, was white animals, and while they said, they called them Lukini, Vishtaka Chivri, they were white. Kipach, Tanersved, Gvoya. What is a Kipach? Somebody who's very tall. Ask the Gemara any, from where do we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu actually likes tall people? So we see the pasuk compliments them for the height. Amra Papa, Bericha Shmant Shmita Sanya. Somebody who's tall and skinny, that's what it's talking about. Amra Shlokish, Gvaya Layisa Gvayas. Somebody who's Grish Schmidt Sanya, somebody who's tall and skinny. Amish Lak Shgvayas, somebody who's very tall. Laisa Gvayas should not marry a woman who's very tall. Shemi Yetzimem Tyrant, they'll have a very tall child. Nanas, somebody who's very short. Laisa and Nana should not marry a woman who's very short. Shemi Yetzimem Etzboi, they'll have a child just the size of a finger. Love and Laisa Lavana, somebody who's white should not marry someone else who has a white complexion. Shemi Yetzimem Boik, some, the child will have too much of a white complexion. Shachar, Yitzhak Shachar, Hashem Yetzimem Tifuach, somebody with too dark of a complexion. I actually saw from Rabbi Yitzhak Zilberstein quotes his father, Rabbi Yoshev, where there was a child who was very short. And his parents asked him, are they allowed to do hormone treatments that are 100% legal? But there's only 10 years of study that they're fine. And there wasn't more. And perhaps that isn't enough of a time to determine if this is a treatment without side effects. So Rav Yashiv said, the fact that the government declared it legal, and the fact that it does have a track record of 10 years, and the fact that our Gemara clearly seems to indicate that being very short is a mum, is enough of a reason to go ahead with the treatment. Hacheresh Hashaitav Hashikr asked the Gemara, Shikr, somebody who's intoxicated, V'hadi mum de mechila avei de bailam achshav. He shouldn't just be in this Mishnah. The Torah says that somebody who's shikr disqualifies the Vaida. So why is it mentioned in our Mishnah as individuals in a shava bizarre shal Aaron? Answers the Gemara. The person referred to in our Mishnah is b'shar dvarim ha-mishakrim. It's not when he drank wine. Or d'lak Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda. Ochel d'veil akilas. If he had a type of a fig, v'shos achal of milk, or dvash, nidnes midrash es chayiv. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That when the Torah speaks about a shikr, it doesn't mean specifically wine. Our Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah holds that only wine is a problem. Other intoxicating issues don't. Other intoxicating beverages or foods don't make it osim midaraisa. Don't disqualify the avodah midaraisa of the because of the din of shikur. But there is still the category of enishav bizar shel aron. They shouldn't be doing the avodah.